mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's...
Keep getting us your reactions to Chewy's question this morning, which is, how far would you drive for a good supper club? Our guy, 70 minutes tonight, 70-ish minutes tonight to get to the good supper club. And he is so excited about it. There is some salivating going on. I've heard his belly rumbling a few times.
I mean, he is so excited that he took, on his own laptop, something else other than ESPN.com front page is on his laptop right now. He actually figured out how to Google the menu for this website,
and
for this restaurant.
And he's been staring at it ever since, right?
It didn't have dessert on there, though.
Ooh.
But it's kind of, I'm not a full dessert. I'm a split with the wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially there because the portions are going to be plenty.
That's always so tricky, though. Prices, do you guys like the same desserts?
I don't usually get dessert. But here I will, and I usually swing with whatever she wants.
Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity desserts consumer. So whatever my wife wants,
Do you guys do what Chewy's doing, the scouting the menu before going somewhere?
100%.
I do it religiously.
Yeah, yeah.
I know before stepping foot, before crossing the threshold.
I mean, Chewy, how'd you guys do this in 1994 when you couldn't just look up the menu on a website before you went somewhere?
You go to the same place.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
I want to get to this Pro Football Focus ranking. So we talked about this yesterday when Gabe was off the show, how they ranked the current and returning, I guess it's returning NFL head coaches. Matt LaFleur not on the list. It stirred up a lot of conversation here in Wisconsin about whether or not he has done enough to earn a top 10 spot on that list. And Gabe came up with a pretty interesting situation, because Pro Football Focus, as they are wont to do during the offseason, has now done rankings for several of the defensive units. And Gabe, when you looked at the rankings for the defensive units, where did the Packers shake out in these rankings?
So far on Pro Football Focus, they have ranked defensive line and linebackers. And I mean, we have been critical of the defensive line, as we should. And they came in at 24th. No shock there.
Woof.
Mm-mm. No shock, right? I mean, it's not great. No, we're not happy with it.
I mean, that's the thing.
It's
like sometimes when you're face-to-face with it and you're like, ugh, that's how I feel when you're telling me that they are the 24th ranked. And again, because Brian Gutekunst and company think that they can get better, that they will get better, and that's why they haven't done any wholesale changes to the unit.
And then the linebacking core, who we're all excited about Edgerrin Cooper, but outside of that, I guess, you know, there's not a ton of star power or even good play. The Packers are 18th
That's
in PFF's linebacker unit. Yeah, I thought that could be higher, but obviously is not. So my question to PFF is, if the Packers are here, and I mean, we were talking about their pass catching unit, how that was down in the 20s. Like, the only thing they've done well in so far is the running back group has been top 10. That's it of the Pro Football Focus rankings that they've put out. So if all these position groups are below average, are down below 16th. They're not even hanging around league average. They're below average, down near the 20s. How the hell is Matt LaFleur not a top 10 coach?
Yeah, no, I agree. And Halfley. Because if you gave this defense, well, Joe Barry Carroll kind of did have this defense and was not very good with it. But it just shows you what a premium having a good D coordinator is. Because I would think corners, depends how they do it. I mean, safety's probably top 10, Gabe.
I would think so. Yeah.
But corners.
If that's the way they do that. Corners are probably going to be
18.
Around average. Yeah, right around that number, probably.
So what would you give them? A 13? Would you be okay with a 13, 12,
if you're combining the two?
For defensive backs?
Yeah.
Yeah, right around that top 10. Maybe probably just on the outside of it.
Yeah. What about the O-line, though? O-line's got to be top 10.
Yeah.
They haven't done O-line yet?
They have not done O-line.
My
guess
is they'll be top 10. They have to be.
But, like, again, the other people on this, I know Jason brought it up with Sean Payton. Like, again, whoever Sean Payton's PR team is, just hire them. The guy just unbelievable. John Harbaugh makes sense. Mike Tomlin makes sense.
Well, but I said this yesterday, Gabe. Like, when you talk to people, like, around league circles, he is very well respected amongst league people, Sean Payton.
Why?
I am not a league person. I don't know. But, like, when you talk to people who are in that sphere, very, very well respected pretty much across the board.
Yeah, and he's a good guy. I mean, Sean's good. And he's a good coach. Yeah, I just, like, I'm at not, two?
Do I think he's the second best coach in the league?
No,
I do not.
No.
And honestly, I think this is a big season for Kyle Shanahan, who's number seven on that list. Because you want to talk about his quarterback? Oh, well, his quarterback has never done anything. Kyle Shanahan has never done anything without a stacked roster. Put Kyle Shanahan in Green Bay. They go into the playoffs the last handful of years?
They kind of have Green Bay's number, though.
Right, but we talked about how,
head to head,
they're the Avengers, right? They had just assembled this incredible group of athletes, and it'll be interesting to see how that continues to change as some of those guys have now been shipped off.
I mean, well, yeah, and last year to me was a big prove it year for, I mean, if it was a big prove it year for Purdy, why couldn't it be a big prove it year for Shanahan? Hey, especially now you can pay your quarterback, those two have to work in concert together to be better because they're not going to be able to afford all the top paid guys that they have over the last 3 or 4 years.
So, I still think he's a good offensive mind.
So what is the unit? You mentioned running backs, but I think that your point is well made of make it make sense.
Yeah.
How can the Packers be so bad when you rank each of these units individually and yet be a perennial playoff team? That's what we're trying to figure out. Your argument is it must be the coach. He must be elevating him and his staff, must be elevating them to playoff caliber teams. I'm a little hesitant to give them all of that credit, but what I do think it does is illustrates maybe the flaw in trying to break the parts of the whole to determine rankings, right? Because, again, you would think that by doing this, Philadelphia Eagles are number two, the Steelers are number one. There's got to be a scale with the units being weighed, right? And we haven't seen quarterbacks yet, but if I had to guess, Jordan Love will be
outside
the top 10. That'd be my guess.
But this all goes to lack of superstars. Yeah, you can beat average teams, but they lost every big game last year. They lost against superstars because you don't have any superstars.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we talked about it. What's your marquee? Your biggest win was against Houston. And Houston is a good team.
Well, maybe that's as simple as it is, Chu. Maybe when PFF is putting all this stuff together, certainly production matters, and they will look at stats and see, you know, how they're shaking out against the competition. But the reason the Pittsburgh Steelers are number one on this list of defensive line rankings from Pro Football Focus is TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. It says it right there, right? And is there anybody in this world who thinks that those two aren't bona fide superstars in this league? Hayward to a less degree than Watt. But, like, who is the marquee person on the Packers? Rashawn Gary?
On the D-line, you're saying?
This is the D-line list that we're talking about right now.
I mean, it was Kenny Clark until last year, right? And then he had just a horrible year.
Most likely to improve over here, Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
You respect him.
Edge defender Rashawn Gary's PFF overall grade has declined in three straight seasons since his career best 2021 campaign, and he ranked only 49th among edge defenders with a 67.7 PFF pass rush grade in 2024.
They screwed up. But he had a track record of being like this. At Michigan, I think he was the second highest rated high school prospect ever, and he did nothing at Michigan. And then he had a good combine, and then potential, and then he had flashes in the pan, and then he reverted back to good old Michigan.
The line just,
they screwed up.
The line that Gabe read about Rashawn Gary is important. The line above it says, none of the Packers' four former first-round picks along the defensive line are performing at the expected level. Ugh.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Stinky. Self-praise stink, PU.
Yep, Charlene.
But you don't even have the self-praise part. This just stinks,
no,
PU.
This is just, yeah.
Somebody starts self-praising, and I don't know what they're going to do, because they're all it's bad.
Maybe when we get to the offensive side of Pro Football Focus's rankings, it will make a little more sense, because maybe the offensive, again, we've talked about running backs, maybe when you talk about Jordan Love, maybe when you talk about the wide receivers, again, we have talked about...
Well, but they did the pass catchers. The pass catchers were down in the 20s.
Oh, I didn't even see that list.
Yeah.
So the pass catchers are in the 20s,
yes.
The running backs are in the top 10, and they haven't done quarterbacks yet. They're most likely holding that till last.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the most important player behind Jordan Love?
Josh Jacobs.
No. I think if you plug in,
again, Jen.
I mean, it's going to hurt, but I think, I mean, who's the running back that Wilson? What's his name?
Emmanuel Wilson?
Yes.
He should be.
He averaged 5 yards per carry. He's still pretty. I mean, he's not Josh Jacobs, but he's pretty damn good.
He likely won't get as many touches as Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, because they like him because they drafted him in the third round.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a Rashad. Who's the left tackle? I'm happy.
This is fun. Yeah.
You know what's going to be Rashid fun? Reach Walker. Is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Bet the under.
Joshy was already taunting you yesterday, and I feel like his confidence is only growing.
I would almost say Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft is the second most important player on the offense.
Give me someone else.
Your tight end is showing.
I think if you lose him, you lose. No? Gabriel?
It's got to be the left tackle guys, right?
No.
If you don't agree that it's Josh Jacobs, which I still stand by.
Second most important player on the offense. It might be Elgton Jenkins because I don't know what they do at center if he goes down. Like everywhere else, I've got an answer. I've got an answer for a lot of other that I do not have an answer for.
Well, I think this is interesting how we're interpreting most important. Because you're basically saying, if this person were to go down, they don't have an answer for it.
From a standpoint, game plan changes. Game plan flat out changes.
I still think it's Josh Jacobs based on how they used him last year. Again, remember, what's the stat, guys? Help me out with this one. This was the first time since that they ran the ball more than they threw the ball, right? They were up over 50% running the ball. I don't know what the year was, but that's out there.
Probably 2004.
But that was all based upon...
It wasn't so much Amon Green, wasn't it?
It wasn't so much Josh Jacobs. Like it's like no one else emerged from the receiver position. Right? I mean, I guarantee LaFleur went into last season going, all right, let's run it 40, let's throw it 60. And then he's like...
Well, then you had the injury, and then you started running the ball efficiently. Nobody emerged, so you just kind of ran with the plan after Jordan Love got hurt, and you had to run it more with Malik.
Yeah.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Week in Re-Chew coming up next, and if this past segment was any indication, it's going to be a doozy. Chewy just talked about how you should bet the under. You know where you can bet the under on all of the things? Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee at their sportsbook. This July, you could burn some major rubber on a custom Harley Davidson of your dreams in the Fire Up Your Fantasy Motorcycle Giveaway. That's right. They are giving away a Harley Davidson. Just play your rewards card all July for entries, Thursday drawings for extra cash, and reward play. Fire Up Your Fantasy is only at Pottawatomie this summer. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, it seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You are making those plans to propose that special someone in your life. You already know what I'm going to say. There's only one place to go in Milwaukee. You know it's the Jewelry Center. I had an idea. I went to shoptjc.com, looked at a couple of rings, then went in, talked with the team that Dean, the dancing machine, has put together there at the Jewelry Center, and they helped me, pointed me in the right direction. I knocked it out of the park. Maybe you don't have an idea. Well, take a look at our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring those ideas in. The team at the Jewelry Center is really what separates them. They're never going to point you in the wrong direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for, when it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory. Greenfield, Brookfield, or at Burlington, online, shoptjc.com. When you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Re-Chew.
Well, I already know the answer to this question.
Well, I could have told you yesterday before the last segment, because when Joshy texts you and says you have no chance,
yeah,
it means he stacked the deck. Call it cheating. So I have no confidence whatsoever because he's already talking crap.
Isn't that the point? He was trying to mess with your confidence. You let him.
Nah, he's
gotten his noggin. No, I was less talking about the difficulty. I contend there is an all-time line in this that I think if you had your druthers would not exist.
Okay, fair enough. I'm intrigued.
All right, let's go ahead. Start with question number one, Joshy.
And Chew. I...
What?
Can we hear it again?
And Chew. And Chew.
Oh, the pitcher for the Mets.
What team did now DFA'd Dickie Lovelady play for?
The Mets.
And Chew.
Right?
I think it's the Mets.
It is the Mets. That is the correct answer.
In your face! In the face! Was that a tough one?
I think he is just more amused by the fact that he has you saying...
I like Dickie.
You love Dickie. I love Dickie.
So I think Joshy was chuckling to himself while making that question yesterday.
Okay.
All right, one for one. Question number two.
I made that up.
What lie did you tell Adam Schefter about himself?
What lie? I have no idea. What lie did I tell Adam Schefter? I essentially called him a liar?
No. You made up something about Adam Schefter to make a larger point. And Adam Schefter said, who told you that? And you said,
Loves Rodgers. Or he's number four.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dead right?
Yeah.
We got all the making of an upset here,
Josh. Adam thought I was serious, too. Was he?
Who told you that? Yes, that's exactly what it was. I did not remember that at all.
Well, yeah, when you are somebody who is a reporter and their words matter and they get told something that they supposedly believe, they're going to question it.
But it's very well known that there is a rift between the two of them.
What was your first hint?
Get rid of my number, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's a rift. I think that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't like our guy Shefty.
I think Aaron Rodgers just doesn't like people.
Yeah.
Okay. So Shefty likes Rodgers?
Talks about football.
I think he's indifferent towards Rodgers. Okay. I don't think he dislikes Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he should. He'd feel much better. Because if someone doesn't like me, I don't like him right back. Right?
Didn't you just tell us recently you don't care what people think?
I'm sure I did.
Sounds like you're unsure.
Two for two, right out of the gate. Question number three.
I bet you guys didn't know this, that my next-door neighbors.
What piece of information did your next-door neighbors teach you, and then you in turn shared with us?
This one I have no idea. You know?
Mm-mm.
I don't even talk to my neighbors. How can they teach me anything? Florida or here?
Ooh, that actually might...
You didn't clarify.
Oh. Play
but
it
I think
time.
It was here.
Play it again.
I bet you guys didn't know this, that my next door neighbors.
What piece of information did your next door neighbors teach you and then you shared with us?
I have no idea.
Cinnamon deters insects.
Darn it, yes.
Oh, that was at the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, to keep the birds from crapping in the sandbox. Yeah. That's all right. I get half.
Why?
Because he didn't say lake. If you said lake, I would have got it.
You have too many properties for me to keep track whatever neighbors you're talking about.
It's hardly Gabe's fault you can't keep your homes straight.
And you guys didn't know it either, so
I
did. You out there. You knew?
Show of hands.
I've got the answer in front of me.
No. I thought you were talking about the cinnamon factoid that he showed.
Oh, no, I had no idea.
I use cinnamon when I got ants in one of my house plants.
I have used cinnamon in my garbage bins to keep the rodents out, you know?
Okay. Fair. You ever try to light it on fire? I'm going to put some in the fire next time.
The garbage gondola? No, I haven't tried lighting.
The cinnamon.
the cinnamon on fire.
Yeah, because I'm huge on lighter fluid, which bothers a lot of people.
That tracks. Right? I can see that for you.
Yeah. Why not just go gasoline at that point?
Ooh, don't do that. I've done that before.
Also, not surprising.
Not a good idea.
Everything you have said makes sense about you. All right, you're still looking for the elusive third correct answer to win this week on Week in Reach. You, Joshy, question number four.
I think you need to butt out.
Whoa.
I think we got a skill issue at hand.
Oh, that is.
That was a shot?
I'm
uncomfortable now.
Which of your skills did Joshy call into question this week?
Spelling?
Could be.
I mean, I think that also happened, but I don't think that
happened. I'm sure it has.
But that's not the answer to this specific question.
Didn't you spell Jacob, J-O-C-O-B?
Jacob.
Yeah. I'm Polish. I know a Jacob. He's a potato farmer in Hadley, Mass. What?
Are you going to answer this question?
What's the question?
Which of your skills did Joshy call into question?
I said spelling. I have no idea.
Your grilling skills.
He questioned my grilling skills?
He did. Oh, was this burger?
Why?
Burger.
The burger. You said it was too thin to properly cook on a grill. And I said, if you could control your heat, you wouldn't have this problem.
I still think the candle line from him is one of my all-time favorites. Never done it with a candle before.
I got to try a smash, though. Smash burger?
Yeah, they're good.
Okay.
Okay, started off hot. Got the first two. Last two, not so great. Question number five for the win.
Yeah, it was technically a blowout.
See, this is why you're the most angry, because you get in a fight with Josh, and the first thing you do
is dime me out.
They tested him.
Oh, there's so much information there.
There's
so
a
much.
Lot.
What event did Joshy blow off this past weekend
for
which you instantly snitched on him?
He was... Friends of his got engaged, invited him out on a Sunday, and he went, he Mike Sherman'd him. To which I said, you should have switched and not went to the national anthem on Monday and hung on Sunday.
That seemed
like a lot less work and a lot more fun.
That message about me skipping out and then giving them a shout out reached multiple people who they hadn't told about their engagement yet, who said, I think they just talked about you being engaged on the radio.
never occurred to us, did it?
And then the clip had made it around the friend group, so when I arrived, everybody there was aware.
Was like, thanks. Not my fault.
Point.
Technically not my fault, though, right, Gabe?
It's 100%
it your fault. No, it is not.
All the way your
because
fault,
Joshy
actually.
Didn't say, don't say this on
he
the radio.
He didn't. And I wouldn't have remembered. I still would have said it.
What up?
I know. I still would have.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It is fascinating, though, that any situation just even laced with a tinge of drama embeds itself in his brain. Yeah. Like, he knew every detail of that story, and, like, it's really impressive.
Yeah, but Chew, he just locks in. He's actually interested in listening.
Yeah.
And
Chew, you like that?
I
love Dickie.
Chewy got the win.
You know what a Dickie is?
Yeah, it's just a thing.
Well, I've never been able to figure out why those existed.
It's what's the guy?
I tried.
What's the guy from my vacation? The Cousin Eddie.
You didn't bite on the Dickie.
I hope not.
We used to have, when I first went to Green Bay, this is how cheap they were. They wouldn't give us turtlenecks. They'd give us Dickies made of wool.
What?
In 92. Yes. I swear to God.
Wait.
They had them from the 60s.
On this part and this part and not the whole thing. What? I don't want to wear a wool turtleneck.
But
they wouldn't give us turtlenecks, Gabe. I swear.
Man.
Is that why the Dickie existed? A cost-saving measure?
It did in Green Bay.
Because I can't for the life of me figure out why you wouldn't just wear the turtleneck.
And you should have seen the shorts they gave us. They were nut huggers. They were the worst. You couldn't even move in them.
Well, I mean, in the 90s, that was...
No, that wasn't hip.
Late 80s, you know, a bunch of white dudes wanted to wear the John Stocktons. Yeah, just a little behind the times.
Oh, were they bad.
Ooh.
When I Google searched why do Dickies exist, it thought I was talking about the overalls. So I got to do a deeper dive.
Oof. Thought I was going to be talking about something else. Not going to lie.
Jen, when two people love each other very much. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It has really devolved into a Friday show over here at 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Finding the right home is a journey. Sometimes it'll be quick. Sometimes you have to be patient. But it should always be exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit for your family. I have loved working with the folks over at the We Sell Group because they have been so thorough during our search. Maybe you're ready to move right now. Maybe you're just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling. Either way, the We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN. To say.
Little housekeeping here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. First, turtleneck Dickies serve the purpose of adding warmth and a layered look to an outfit without the bulk and extra material of a full turtleneck, shirt, or sweater. Detachable collars and Dickies can easily be removed, cleaned, and replaced without the need to wash an entire shirt. If you were wondering why Dickies exist.
So, a bad idea.
Especially in the NFL, because you want like the full thing for all of the warmth when you're playing in November and December in Green Bay.
Well, this is an excellent segue, because Joshy, I think it was you or Gabe, brought us the information that in the next few years, within the next decade or so, Lambeau Field may be the only open-air stadium in the league. Now, I want to be clear. We have talked, not at length, but occasionally, about the Bills and how they're building a new stadium and how it will famously be open air. And I have pushed back on that, saying, you play in freaking Buffalo. You have Josh Allen. Give him a dome. Give him a roof. Give him a controlled environment so that they can host playoff games and have an advantage, all of those things. I do not feel the same way about Lambeau Field because of the historic nature of Lambeau Field. Every time a list comes out of the best stadiums slash arenas in the country, almost unanimously, Lambeau Field is number one on the list. I saw a recent one that came out a few weeks ago. Lambeau Field, number one on the list. I'm not saying put a roof on Lambeau. I'm saying that if you're the Buffalo Bills and you're building a new stadium and you're not dealing with the historic nature of your stadium, you should put a roof on. Gabe?
I'm for open-air stadiums all over the place. From my understanding, football is supposed to be played in elements in the weather. And again, the reason why this is coming up, the Browns just got $600 million in taxpayer money to build a new stadium. It's going to have a dome. Chiefs trying to get Missouri to give them taxpayer money to help renovate Arrowhead. And if they don't, they're going to be talking to the state of Kansas about potentially building a domed stadium in Kansas. Bears, their new stadium in Arlington Heights features a dome. Commanders want to build a new stadium in D.C., also featuring a dome. Titans already breaking ground on a domed stadium. So right now we're looking at Buffalo, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Miami.
So
as potentially the only four open air stadiums.
And those will all be field turf. So much for player safety and that whole dust up with Bakhtiari years ago. You think Green Bay will ever go to field turf? I mean, I was shocked when Notre Dame went to field turf. Because they got more money than whatever.
So you're saying they could afford to maintain the grass?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I can't imagine that they.
You don't think
because,
so?
Well, because it's, again, part of the aesthetic of Lambeau. Playing is in the open air is also having, you know, again, they've got the synthetic stuff now.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, still having that, maintaining it. I feel like that's a part of the aesthetic of Lambeau Field.
So here's the other thing, right? To me, this is a math thing. There's 17 games in the regular season. Yes, if you host playoffs, there's more. You know, Rodgers even said the other day, I'm hoping to play 20 games or 21 games or whatever it was. Half of those are at home. Half of those are in pretty decent weather at Lambeau Field. So we're talking about such a small number of games at Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. Again, would I love for them to host playoff series? I would. I would also like to remind people that the coldest I have ever been in my entire 44 years of existence was at Lambeau Field for a playoff game covering the Green Bay Packers. I think I almost lost a toe. So to me, if all of these other stadiums go to dome, retractable roof, whatever it is, it makes Lambeau even that much more unique. If you want the experience of the open air, if you want the experience of come to Lambeau Field, we're the only ones that have it.
Yeah, I can't imagine they ever put a dome on Lambeau.
Oh, no, never.
Never do it.
No.
They'll just continue to renovate it the way that they have. Because, again, just the way it looks now, not just the stadium, But the way it looks now, Chew, and everything around the stadium versus when you showed up talking about the Dickies and everything that you went and talking about, you know, Ed Policy saying, well, you know, you get priority number two is making sure we keep the Packers in Green Bay. Like, this is why I firmly believe that that was an edict that Bob Harlan had when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were that cheap. The money wasn't flowing in the way it does in the NFL now. And they had to do certain things to make sure the Packers stayed in Green Bay. And they did those things. They were able to preserve Lambeau Field. And because they were able to do that, they're never going to do anything like put a roof on that stadium.
Where is the Bears Stadium at? Are they going downtown or are they going into Arlington?
Arlington Heights.
They are going into Arlington?
I don't know that anything has been like signed, sealed, and delivered. No, I haven't seen anything like that.
That's a stadium proposal.
Now, we got a lot of people weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line reminding us that there are many other stadiums that still are open air. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, New York from Josh in Heartland.
Mm-hmm.
Justin in Jacksonville saying, don't forget about the Eagles and the Jets. Those are still open air. Mm-hmm. What we're pointing at is this evolution of the stadiums across the board and how it seems that anytime there is a renovation or a new stadium, they're putting a roof on it. That is a part of these proposals. And I got to think it's because it gives a home field advantage to be able to control the elements.
I think we can look right down the street here at AmFam Field and the winterizing and the stuff they did. It's make it a multi-purpose venue and open it up for more money to keep going in.
Which is why I was surprised when they built MetLife in New York that they didn't just put a dome on that thing right away.
Right.
Just to be able to protect it from, you know, the huge concerts that they have out there.
I hate domes.
Stuff like that.
Hate it. Hate them. Hated playing in domes. I hope some of them are retractable.
See, and conversely, Aaron Rodgers loves playing in domes.
Yeah.
He likes the controlled environment, right? Okay. When he went on that playoff run, there was so much talk about Atlanta and being able to play in that environment.
You guys stunk in domes.
Yeah, we weren't real good in domes.
Probably why you hate it.
Yeah.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. And here's what they found. 75% of people know it's wise to seek support, but only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. Why the disconnect? BetterHelp is trying to close that gap. They are offering very convenient therapy in your home, click of a button, switch therapists at any time. They've got 35,000 therapists. 5 million people globally have been served by BetterHelp, the world's largest online therapy platform, and you could be next. We are all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Because when people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their families, their workplaces, and entire communities.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down. On 94.5 ESPN.
Okay, then. Weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and Chris, they talk about everything happening in the Bucks world. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast. Chewy, you leaving now to get down to the old supper club?
No,
what are
I got
you
going to
do
work.
Between now and then?
I got a little work to do. Just... Don't play the game before.
A little work to do?
No, this maybe.
Can you send us some pictures? Send us some pictures from the supper club tonight. Have a great time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Wildy and Tosh is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.